My name is Ryan Miller, and for the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars for their funds and for their startups. If you're serious about raising money, launching your business, or taking your life to the next level, this show will give you the answers so that you too can enjoy your pursuit of making billions. Let's get into it. Hey, future billionaires, have you ever felt like your career, your company, or leadership is not where it needs to be? Or perhaps you struggle just finding people that believe in your vision. Well, in this week's episode of Making Billions, I bring on my dear friend, David Meltzer. David is a best-selling author, speaker, and content creator. He's the former CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Company, which was the inspiration for the hit movie Jerry Maguire featuring Tom Cruise. So what this means is David is about to drop some major wisdom on us on building a career, promoting a compelling vision, and finding the right people to support you every step of the way. Doing these things are all critical skills we need in our pursuit of making billions. Here we go. Hey, welcome to another episode of Making Billions. I'm your host, Ryan Miller, and today I have my dear friend, David Meltzer. David is the co-founder of Sports One Marketing and formerly served as a CEO of the renowned Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Agency, which was the inspiration for the movie Jerry Maguire. His life mission is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. This simple yet powerful mission has led him on an incredible journey to provide one thing, value, in all his content and communication, and that's exactly what you'll receive today. He's a 3-time international best-selling author, a top 100 business coach, the executive producer of Entrepreneur's number one digital show, Elevator Pitch, and host of the top entrepreneur podcast, The Playbook. His newest book, Game Time Decision Making, was the number one release. David has been recognized by Variety Magazine as Sports Humanitarian of the Year and awarded the Ellis Island Medal of Honor. So the hits just keep coming with David. So what this means is David is one of the most influential speakers and business minds in the game today. He understands how to get you to achieve breakthrough, starting with becoming happy and providing value. So David, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me. This is absolutely a great platform, making billions in order to effectuate my mission in life, which is to teach people how to make a lot of money so that they can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun.
I absolutely love that. And what an inspiring mission, David. I mean, I've heard you speak. I've seen a lot of your content online. And I got to say, man, you're absolutely crushing it. So while we can read about and see all of that awesome content that you're putting together today, what I would like to know is, where did it all begin for you?
You know, it all began for me in the world of not enough. I was born to a mom, a single mom, 6 kids. My dad left when I was 5. And really, my mission back then in the world of not enough, being a victim, always asking, why me? Why can't I have this? Was to be rich. I had a great mom. She was a great leader in the community. But literally the only time that we were sad in my house was because of money, any kind of financial issue. So at a young age, I decided I was going to be rich. Money would buy me love and happiness. I'd buy my mom a house and a car someday. And that would be the end. I would be able to ride off into the sunset completely happy because of money. And that was the start of my journey. I had a lot of lessons to learn along the way. But still, I'm evolving with my relationship with money, which has always played a key role, taking me out of the world of not enough and moving into bigger and better worlds and eventually reaching the world of abundance.
Man, I love that. You know, so speaking of those early lessons, early in your career, as you started to just figure stuff out, especially in entrepreneurship and in the business game, a little bit is knowledge, a little bit is you just figure it out and refuse to die. So that part in your career, like so many of us who've climbed up, I'm sure you come across all kinds of people. So what have you found is the most helpful attribute in people that you look for to help elevate your vision?
Well, one is, you know, for me, gratitude. It's the cornerstone of everything I do. I want to surround myself with grateful people, grateful ideas. I want people to share in a perspective, participate in a perspective of always trying to find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything. So gratitude is a cornerstone. The second thing was just forgiveness. You know, as an entrepreneur, you know this, Ryan, we're going to make a ton of mistakes. And then as human beings that are entrepreneurs, we're going to exponentially make even more mistakes. So if we don't have forgiveness and gratitude, then it leaves us in an uninspired, below the line, living in shame, blame, and justification instead of inspired and participating in the perception of enjoying the consistent everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of our own potential.
Man, I absolutely love that. And, you know, so forgiveness and gratitude, just really at the end of the day, just being a good person. And, you know, in order to know peace, you need to know peace. And bringing people into that is certainly a big, important part of moving your vision forward, is pulling people together. Now, on the other side of that, David, has there ever been a time that you felt like maybe you're surrounded by the wrong people? And how did you know? And what did you do to turn that around?
This is always one of my favorite questions, because coming out of law school, I was a millionaire 9 months out of law school, despite my mom's advice not to be a real lawyer, not to get involved in the internet. She actually told me the internet was a fad. Luckily, I realized at an early age, just because someone loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice. But even moreover, understanding and evolving to, being a multimillionaire running Samsung's phone division, to being a multimillionaire and having access to things that billionaires couldn't have. By the time I was in my 30s running Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment, that notable sports agency, that was about the time I started to realize, with a little help from my mom, my dad, my best friend, and especially my wife, pointing out that I was lost, that money doesn't buy love or happiness, that I needed to start over when it came to surrounding myself with the right people and the right ideas. And 2 years before I lost over $100 million, 2 years before I went bankrupt and lost everything, my wife truly drew the final straw in my life and threatened to leave me if I didn't make changes, if I didn't take stock in who I was through that gratitude and forgiveness and accountability and effective communication, through the ability of living above the line, taking accountability of who I was and what I wanted to become. And that allowed me to, I think, handle the stress of losing over $100 million and going bankrupt. But if it wasn't for my wife making that change and demanding that I fire some friends from my life and I separate myself from some really bad behaviors and ideas that I was surrounding myself with, not only would I have been bankrupt, but without my wife, I would not only be divorced, but more importantly, I'd be dead. And so I always say to everyone, my wife saved my life, and saved my life by giving me the right mindset, the right heart set, and the right handset in order to effectuate living in abundance and being of service and of value. And as I always say, being kind to my future self by surrounding myself with the right people and the right ideas and doing good deeds.
Man, and starting with your wife, I mean, bless the hearts of our understanding and supportive spouses. So sounds like finding a supportive spouse was definitely, you can say, an anchor to you, just to help keep your feet on the ground. And having those right people around you to say, hey, man, what's going on? You're not being yourself, or maybe you're not fulfilling the mission. There's something bad happening. I can see it, and I care about you enough to tell you the honest truth. You need to make changes because I'm worried about you. So bless her heart, man. She sounds like a wonderful person. So you've stated, David, that you're on a mission to empower a billion people to be happy. Where did that start? And how's it going so far?
Oh, great question. First of all, I want to clarify one thing. It's over a billion people. I don't let anyone limit me.
Hey, so, all right. Let's go. Good for you.
I reached a point in my life after I lost everything. I made it all back. And I was living, like I said, not in the world of not enough as a victim, not in the world of just enough, buying things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. But I was now living in abundance, a world of more than enough. And just as I was reaching the point of, never having to work again, being able to have all the options, opportunities, and touches of favor I had before, but now with the right mindset, heart set, and handset, surrounding myself with the right people, the right ideas, my youngest daughter's friend, she was only 12, committed suicide. And it really rocked me. And I started doing research on happiness, and I couldn't understand, why and how this could happen. And I did so much research to find out that the fastest growing cause of death in almost every demographic in America, let alone around the world, is suicide. And, you know, I'm walking the beach thinking about what can I do to help? You know, I've lived through my own journey and the lessons I've learned. And, you know, I really knew how to do three things. You know, I could help by teaching people to live in abundance, to make a lot of money, teach people how to help other people, because, you know, it's impossible to be anxious, depressed, or, you know, angry when we're helping others. And then finally, you know, how to have fun, how to be happy. And as I'm walking, I realized that through my 35 years of a journey, that I really knew a lot about it. I paid the dummy tax. And maybe if I could share the dummy tax with others and clearly articulate the quantitative value of what I knew to others, that I could empower others, not only to power themselves, but I could empower others to empower others to be happy. And the math started formulating in my mathematical mind of, what if I could find 1,000 people like Ryan Miller? What if I could find 1,000 people that had a platform like Ryan Miller? What if I could help Ryan Miller through my content, speeches, coaching, podcasts, all the things that I do, books, to help empower Ryan Miller to empower another 1,000 Ryan Millers to empower another 1,000? See, 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000, 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000. And I felt at the time when I came upon this mission to empower over 1,000,000,000 people to be happy, to change the world by creating a collective consciousness of abundance, of happiness, that all I had to do in my lifetime was find 1,000 people like you. And the math made sense. The mission made sense. The hair stood up on my arms. I got so inspired. And the only thing that made me nervous, Ryan, was, you know, coming home to that beautiful, wonderful wife of mine. And here I was, you know, we went from owning 33 homes in San Diego, ski mountain, golf course, to a rented house with rented furniture and one car. Now I was back living in this beautiful beach house on the boardwalk and having everything that I ever wanted again. And now my wife's asking me, you know, what's next? And I have to tell her, hey, you know what's next? I'm on a mission to empower over 1,000,000,000 people to be happy. I'm going to change the world. And I wasn't sure if my wife was going to handle my outrageous mission. But sure enough, to her testament, she got it immediately and said, what can I do? How can I be of service? I'm so proud of you. You can do this. Let me know how I can help.
That is phenomenal. And for we've got over 100 countries listening to our show now. You can see the power of a compelling vision. And so just to synthesize, when David found his mission, it, like you said, it made the hair stand up and there was something that spoke to you deep at your core. And if it has the power to speak to you deep at your core, you know it's going to have the power to affect other people as well. So, you know, if I can join you on that mission, maybe we'll circle up after. And if there's anything us or the Making Billions community can do to support you on your mission, it's such an inspiring mission. We certainly have a keen interest in depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, supporting first-line responders. There's a lot of stuff out there. And you know what? If not us, then who? Right? So somebody's got to step up and say, look, we can make a change. We know how to do this. Let's lean in. Let's lock arms and get it done. So thank you truly from the bottom of my heart of such an inspiring mission.
Well, thank you. And I do want to also support your community. So if any of your community members, you know, I'd love to send my book, sign it, pay for shipping and the book to anyone in your community. So if you could put my email, david@dmeltzer.com in your notes, I'll send your entire community a free book, pay for shipping and the book. So please, I want to share my message and my methodology. And the best way to do that is to start by reading my book, which I will give for free to everyone in your audience.
Wow. Labor of love. Talk about building value. So thank you for that. We'll include that in the notes below of ways that people can just get started with you or go all in and everything in between. So we'll love to promote you and help support your vision to empower over 1,000,000,000 people to be happy. So I absolutely love that. You know, moving on, David, you've mentioned that it's important for people to love what they do. So what advice can you give people to just get them on the road to happiness in their career, whether it's starting your own business, working for someone else. I mean, we're all just trying to get it right. What advice can you give to people to help them to love what they do?
Yeah, well, first of all, know that you can learn to love what you do. When we search for the light, the love, and the lessons in the activities that we have, which leads me to the second piece of advice is, one, know that you can learn to love what you do by finding the light, the love, and the lessons. And then two, separate things as activities. Don't put meaning into the activities. Just realize there's activities you have planned, there's activities you don't have planned, and there's the activity of sleep. There's activities you get paid for and activity you don't get paid for. And the third step, after we know that we can learn to love what we do and we separate things by just calling them activities, then we go ahead and prioritize those activities by what's important to us in the trajectory of what we think we want in the future, giving the meaning of the past, defining moments, inflection points, mistakes, failures, and setbacks, align it with the trajectory we want to be in, not aligned with where we don't want to be. And so if you can define your idea of loving what you do by, one, knowing I can learn what to love what I do, two, that there's only activities that I'm learning to love what to do, and I want to align the meaning of my past with those activities in the trajectory of what I think I want in the future, we now can prioritize the activities of our day by what's important to us, which makes it far easier to love what we're doing all day long. So many people, they think they have to go get more. They think they have to get more inspired, more happy, more healthy, more wealthy. What I'm trying to do is teach you the methodology in order to understand that you are happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy. Let me help you figure out what you're doing to interfere with it, to enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your potential, not what other people want for you, not what's missing, what you don't have based off of meanings of the past, defining moments, setbacks, failures, and mistakes, but simply what's most important to you in the trajectory of where you think you want to be, and know that you can learn to love all those activities and align the meaning of the past with the trajectory of the future.
Well said. Absolutely brilliant. You know, you're one of the most impactful speakers I've ever heard, and you've been involved with Forbes, Entrepreneur Inc., TED Talks. I mean, I could keep going, but you get the idea. Now, we know that being able to influence people and drive impact is a key to successful career, company, whatever it is that you're up to. So I'm curious, David, what have you found to be helpful in breaking through with people as you communicate just to help them unlock their own limitations?
Well, first of all, we have to meet people where they're at. And so one, I want to make sure that the person has an open mind, but we can't change or help a closed mind. So I only have 24 hours a day as you. So I want to maximize it with people who have an open mind at that time, notating that everyone has an open mind at certain times, but I'm not going to try to help or change or empower a closed mind. So the first qualifier is to, you know, hey, let's make sure we're dealing with an open mind. And when we do, then we can ask open-ended questions in order to facilitate finding out what people like about whatever subject or topic that we want to talk about, or what they don't like. Because at its core, at its essence, what we want to do is create a community of people that want to help each other, know people who can help each other, and utilizing and understanding what they like and don't like, there's two ways we can help someone. Give them more of what they like, or take away what they don't like. And so I keep a very simplistic template, which again, I'm more than happy to help send and sign for everyone along with my book. But if I can teach you how to find an open mind, how to ask open-ended questions to find out what people like and don't like, then you simply just ask, would it help you if I gave you more of what you like? Would it help you if I took away some of what you don't like? Then you can continue to build the community by not only providing value and service to everyone within the context of what your skills, knowledge, and desire are, but you also can culminate the conversation by asking, hey, do you know anyone that can help me? Notating their skills, their knowledge, and their desire. We're maximizing everyone's strengths to utilize and aggregate and compound together to accelerate more value, more productivity, more accessibility, and most importantly, more gratitude, which allows us to find the light, the love, and the lessons, have the best perspective, and allows us all to expand, grow, and accelerate together.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favorite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Brilliantly said. As we say, we talk about pitching investors and helping them to understand the opportunities in front of them. And sometimes we call it an adrenaline shot or a pain reliever. So helping them to get more of what they want and double down on all the things that they love, give them that adrenaline shot or give them a pain reliever. A lot of those things are absolutely critical. And you heard it straight from the master, David Meltzer. So all those things are critical, whether you're speaking, you're in a boardroom, pitching an investor, or negotiation with one of your kids, which I do very often. So we're gonna work on that and implement those tactics. You know, on this show, David, we know that reputation relationships are some of the most valuable assets in our possession. Now, you're one of the most connected guys. I've seen, you know Gary Vee and Rob Dyrdek and Tony Hawk. I mean, you keep going. But you also have a reputation that just pulls millions of people into your orbit. So for those entrepreneurs and fund managers, investment bankers, all those people that are listening to the show that just aspire for greatness, what are some of those things that you've found critical when building your reputation and relationships?
Well, the first thing is to live in radical humility and to understand there's two types of people. And it took me a while, right? Like the only difficulty I ever have with relationship capital luckily occurred before I really knew anybody of power. So, you know, the snapshots of me at 17, 18, 25, 26 are not the David Meltzer of today, 30 years later. Thank goodness. And thank goodness there wasn't any cell phones either. So I get to be honest and illuminate that, you know, I had a lot of lessons to learn when I was young. But, you know, the best thing that we can do is to be and understand two types of people. One, ignorant people, people that don't know what they don't know. And then two, ignorant people, people that don't know what they don't know. And the difference between those ignorant people are the ignorant, arrogant people. And you see this in social media that attacked us. They have judgments and conditions they put around us. And they're mean. And those are ignorant, arrogant people compared to the ignorant, humble people that don't know what they don't know, but admit it. They don't project their insecurity on you and pretend like they're all knowing and omniscient and they're better than you or separate from you. The other nuance of this that has to, and we spoke about it earlier in the interview, is the ignorant, arrogant people that love us the most. I talked about my mom. Just because someone loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice. One of the things to be careful of when we're looking at this separation of ignorant arrogance and ignorant humility is that a lot of times the people who have the most impact us with the best intention but negative result are the people that love us the most. So our parents, for example, are so afraid that something bad will happen to us that they give us bad advice because they give us advice based out of fear. And they act out of ignorant arrogance and love to protect us, pretending like they know what they don't know. So they'll tell us, oh, you got to go to med school, you got to go to law school, or if you don't do this, you're going to be a loser, or whatever it is. They do it out of love. So I say that if we can live in radical humility, if we understand we don't know what we don't know, and we do our best, we learn lessons and have fun, then we can, no matter what place or position we are in, not only appreciate what we have, add value to it, we can acknowledge it. And the only way we acknowledge things, acquire the knowledge of things, is not to have it anymore. So give it away, lose it, have it manipulated or stolen from us with no interference, but also ask for more, ask for help. Ignorant, humble people not only give everything they have or don't mind it being lost, stolen, or manipulated from them if they learn the lessons, but they have a great quality of asking for more. They don't live in a zero-sum game. They live in a value add world of more than enough of everything for everyone.
You know, we all love growth, David. You love personal growth, business growth, revenue growth. We like to grow, right? As Tony Robbins says, progress equals happiness. I know when I'm progressing, I'm happy. If I feel stuck, I'm miserable. And so, you know, what are some of the biggest obstacles, in your opinion, that you found that keep people and businesses from growing?
I think the biggest one is that people attach their emotions to an outcome. They try to utilize a capability of human existence that doesn't exist. And that capability is that we as human beings, by utilizing good behavior, cannot be aware of progress. We expect instant progress, but we can't see it. So we end up quitting. See, if you understand the three characteristics of energy, that all behaviors aggregate in the way or direction of the behavior, they compound, so it gives us exponential results, and it actually accelerates. But the problem is, when we attach our emotions to an outcome, we don't see those results because, like I said, the human condition or existence isn't capable of seeing progress from good behavior. So it would be like dieting and wondering why we didn't lose weight, or, you know, within the first 3 days, we don't see anything, or working out, we're not stronger in the first 3 days, or studying something, we can't ace the test. But what is occurring, and if we utilize our faith of progress and utilize and know that all good behaviors create good progress instantly, all bad behaviors create bad progress instantly, and we know that behavior, energy, progress aggregates, attracts more, it exponentially compounds on itself, so you get more, and it accelerates, so you get it faster. When we can understand the characteristics of behavior and energy, including money, which is an energy, then we can have faith in the behaviors that are aligned with where we want to be, in the progress that we want, even though we can't see it. Therefore, we will enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of that potential, even though we don't see the progress. And if I get more people to detach their emotions from the outcome and attach those emotions to the behaviors, exponentially and accelerated, they will get what they want or better.
Man, I absolutely love that. So it just sounds like a growth mindset. When you fix your emotions on an outcome, you're fixed. Linking it to, you know, to just to paraphrase what you were saying, linking it to the progress and the behaviors that you have to adopt to achieve the outcome is a much better approach, I believe is what I'm hearing. And that allows you to go from fixed mindset to continuous improvement mindset or growth mindset, whatever you want to call it. And thereby, extension, not your words, mine, that leads you to a lot more of a fulfilling and a happy life, fulfilling your mission to empower over a billion people to be happy. Absolutely inspiring. Well said, David. You know, Thank you. Final question for you, brother. Let's go deep. If you couldn't leave any of your money to your loved ones when you leave this earth and it's time to graduate, if you couldn't leave anything behind except for advice on how to make money and enjoy the process, what advice would you leave them to help them get there?
Three words, same three words I tell myself if I was 18, 28, 38, 48. Someday when I'm 58, I'll be telling myself these same three words. Ask for help. Fastest and easiest way to get to where you want to be is find someone who sits in the situation that you want to be in and ask them for help. Have faith that we live in a world of more than enough. Ask for help. Live in a value-add world, not a zero-sum game. No need to trade, negotiate, quid pro quo. Don't buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like. Simply continue to live in the flow, not as an influencer spreading the flu, spreading dis-ease, but as an influencer appreciating, acknowledging, and asking for more. When you live in abundance, when you understand that when you ask for help, you're adding value to the people that you ask for help for as well as yourself, that we are in a growth mindset, that appreciation means add value. And we live in a universe that's growing, accelerating, and compounding all the time. Just keep up with the universe by asking for help.
Man, I absolutely love that and brilliantly said. You know, so just to summarize for our listeners, live in radical humility. I love what you said there. Build that reputation in relationships with humble people seeking to just add value. don't get attached to emotions, but get attached to, or don't get attached to outcomes with your emotions, but learn to attach those emotions to progress, continuous growth instead of fixed. And finally, just ask for help from people that are doing what you want to be doing. You do these things and you too will be well on your way in your pursuit of making billions. What a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to leave a comment and review on new ideas and guests you want me to bring on for future episodes. Plus, why don't you head over to YouTube and see extra takes while you get to know our guests even better. And make sure to come back for our next episode where we dive even deeper into the people, the process, and the perspectives of both investors and founders. Until then, my friends, stay hungry, focus on your goals, and keep grinding towards your dream of making billions.